Accession number 19767, Reel 1.
Mr. Vaskovsky, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
In Königsberg, which is in East Prussia and is now Russian territory. 1921.
Can you tell me something about your family background? Because you have a Polish name, and yet you have the von.
Long story. There is the von comes from an old that goes back to 999. There was, but King Boleslav and the Vaskovskis had a. Had the right to have a hawk in their crest, and this is what I found out. But originally, my grandfather was living in Polish territory in the 19th century. Borders changed very much there, and I found myself born in Königsberg, which was Prussian. And my father, I believe, when he was young, he still spoke a little bit of Polish, but the rest of it is gone.
Did your father and mother come from Königsberg back?
No, they were born somewhere else, in East Prussia, but not in Königsberg. I am the first one who was born in Königsberg.
But they were both German speakers?
They were both German speaking, yes. Both German nationality.
And what was their religion?
My father Catholic, my mother Lutheran, and I'm a Lutheran.
So you were brought up as a Lutheran?
Lutheran, yes.
Did you go to school in Königsberg?
Yes. 4 years primary school, and then the gymnasium, or that is the grammar school, up to... I volunteered to join the army.
And what did your father do for a living?
Civil servant. Quite interesting, really. He was the only civil servant in Königsberg, was quite a big town, who was not a party member. Normally, as it was later in East Germany, if you are a civil servant, you had to belong to a party, otherwise you are not in. And as a result of it, he never was, he always was put back. He never could climb up the ladder for promotion. And he was killed by the... more or less by the end of the war when the Russians took Königsberg. If he would have survived, probably he would have been politically quite an important man. But that was the case. I don't know, we had sometimes long conversations because I was brought up in the... Well, I saw the misery in Germany in the 30s, beginning of the 30s. When everything was bad, really, and as soon as Hitler came to power, it seemed to change very, very quickly.
The employment situation, you mean?
Employment situation. I mean, I remember going with my father once in the street and saw about 50 young men marching through the street and having a banner, give us labor, give us bread, give us work. More or less.
And what was your father's opinion about all this?
Well, he was a social democrat at that time. He was very much against the Nazi takeover. But he was very much alone. And it's strange now then when if my children ask me, how was it possible that Hitler ever came to power? He came to power quite legally through elections. But times were very, very bad in Germany, and so this is how he succeeded in fooling the whole nation, more or less.
And was your father a member of the Social Democratic Party?
I believe he was. We never talked about it, but he certainly had, we had the daily newspaper was Social Democrat.
Was your mother interested in politics?
Not really, no.
Were you interested in politics?
After it's not before Hitler came to power. After Hitler came to power, I think I joined the Hitler Youth of 33. When was it? When I was about 14. And it was like a scout movement, and it was wonderful. We went scouting, so, but politically, well, it was, you heard it, but you forgot it again.
Which were the strongest parties in Königsberg?
Before Hitler came to power, it was Social Democrats, I believe.
Were the communists of any strength there?
Well, there were some strengths. They were, even if they are in minority, they always shouted a lot. So there was a lot of, even in minority, they appeared very strong, like everywhere, really.
How old were you when you left school?
18. Well, the strange part was that it was grammar school. We had to have our examination, but there was a sort of law. If you join voluntary the Wehrmacht, you would get your A-levels without examination. And of course it was, if you are young men, that seems to be a wonderful prospect. So we joined voluntary, and with the other good part of joining voluntary was you could pick your troop you wanted to join. So I volunteered for the heavy artillery, which my brother was in before. So there was some connection, family connection. He was in the army, I think in the early 30s after Hitler resurrected the Wehrmacht. And so I joined the heavy artillery.
Did the outbreak of war take you by surprise or not?
Yes.
Why had you not expected it?
Goebbels was a very clever man. Propaganda in Germany was first class. I think in general the population was kept in the dark, really, as long as possible, up till you had firm my words are missing at the moment now, up till you came to firm established facts. And we didn't expect it. I know I was at school when the outbreak of war was, and then our teacher said, oh, war has broken out, our troops marched into Poland. I think it was partly the Poland war was expected, but the declaration of war from France and England, that wasn't so much expected. It was more the Poland, there was rumors going around and France were in the army, so that was more expected than the declaration of war from France and England. And what one can hear after the war, I think Hitler didn't expect it quite.
So what happened to you immediately after the declaration of war?
I was still at school. That was, I joined the army in 1940, so that was after the France invasion. And so up till then, we were at school.
So during the Polish War of autumn 1939, was Königsberg much affected by what was going on?
Well, troop movements only. Königsberg was a district town of East Prussia, the most important town, but the Polish, the troop movements were all further south there, so we didn't see very much of it.
And can you tell me about joining up into the army, please?
Yes, it was... Well, most of the youngsters there, or my school colleagues, thought it was wonderful to be released from school without examinations. After the quick after the fall of France, some people thought, oh, we may be too late to join any units. And I joined the troop in Czechoslovakia, in Pilsen. I spent about 6 months from autumn 1940 to March 41 in Pilsen for training.
What kind of training were you doing?
Well, basic training and gun training.
How were you treated in the training by the...
Very well.
Were you able to cope with what they expected you to do?
Yes, that was a troop from East Prussia, so we had, strange enough, we had a lot of East Prussians in there, and we had a lot from Silesia, Lithuania, all sort of young men there. But we were, in general, we were treated very well. But I mean, if you go through your first 3 months in any army, I don't think you are treated too well, but you have to get through it. And after that, I think we spent another 3 months because normally, if you come from a grammar school, you're automatically going into a stream where you have a later commissioned officer training. So that happened in Pilsen as well.
What kind of artillery pieces were you practicing on?
At that time it was a 10.5 centimeter. I don't think they had enough guns really to have us the proper one, so we had lighter guns. What sort of caliber it was, it wasn't, but it was basically the same training on any gun, really. How to set it up, how to move it, how to direct it, so same training.
What did you think of these weapons?
We didn't have much knowledge of it, really. The strange thing later on in Normandy, we had the 88 gun, and first we thought, oh, what a horrible weapon that is. But of course, we didn't know the effectiveness of the 88. But normally, at that time, we had the 10.5 centimeter and later the 15 centimeter guns, and we were quite happy with it.
Why did you think the 88 was a horrible weapon?
Well, it was far too light. And we thought it's only an anti-aircraft gun. But of course, we were wrong. We were pure artillery. We were not used to these lighter, much lighter guns.
What were living conditions like for you at Pilsen?
Very good. We used the Czechoslovakian barracks. 1940, everything seemed to be quite normal.
And then, after this?
Posted to an East Prussian Abteilung, which is probably Abteilung has four batteries. I don't know what the equivalent is in English.
Probably a regiment.
A regiment, yes. Regiment probably is a little bit high. Regiment, yes, it would be the same thing as in... the regiment is more the artillery regiment. Well, it doesn't really matter. Posted to a frontline regiment or battery in, where were they stationed? In I think they were stationed in East Prussia. It's a long time ago. Somewhere. Training, and then we were used as a observation, under observation, all sort of things, and came in to the, for the first day when, or started our war really, our active war, first day when the Germans invaded Russia in 1941.
Did this Abteilung to which you were posted have a number or a name?
37, I believe it was, but I can't remember.
And what rank did you have by then?
Normal soldier.
Just a gunner?
Yeah.
And did this war with Russia take you by surprise?
Well, it was. I think the first inkling we had was when we suddenly had Russian dictionaries and explaining how to read a Russian map. That was a surprise.
When did that happen? Was that very long before?
No, that was shortly before we started invading there.
And when that war broke out, where were you? Where was your unit?
On the border to Russia, from East Prussia, facing now one of the Baltic states, Lithuania.
Do you remember the name of the village, or...?
No, I can't remember. I don't think we were even told where we were. I know roughly where we went to, through Lithuania, and then we went into Latvia, and I remember then that we were involved in... taking of Riga, and later on involved in the taking of the two islands which are in front of Estonia, I believe, Virtsu. That is the place where we had really the first combat with Russians. But I think we, in general, really, our unit was quite green. I remember on probably going through Lithuania, and there was a stop for something, and somebody had to spend a penny somewhere, and when he went off the unit, off the beaten track there, he suddenly found a Russian there, dug in a foxhole, and because the Russian policy at that time was to leave certain single soldiers back near roads with a machine gun, and they were told, you gun down the Germans if they pass nearby. With a lot of vodka left there, and they were mostly drunk, so it was impossible. And anyhow, instead of he started running away, and they started chasing him. Nobody took a gun to shoot at him. They were just chasing him. Crazy war.
But we
were very green. Yes, he was caught and he was prisoner, but he was well treated. And what happened to him afterwards, we don't know.
Had he shot anybody?
No, at that time, no. He was too much under the influence of vodka.
Do you mean that when you pushed through Lithuania to Riga,
yeah,
and then Estonia, that you weren't doing much fighting?
I think the first series and the first casualties we had, the first dead persons was in Latvia when there was a Russian plane, Rata we called him, and he started to fire at our battery position. And then we had the first casualties. I can't remember, it's too long ago really, I can't remember if we had any before, but I remember only a good friend of mine, he was killed there, and that was in Latvia.
Did you have much to do with the civilians in the Baltic states as you went through?
Very little, but what we heard was frightening. Practically, after the Russians came in, that was a pact with Hitler again. All the teachers, preachers, any intelligent chap was herded up and sent away. What we found was really people who were relieved to see the Germans, more or less.
Did they greet you in any way?
Yes, we were treated. They came up almost with flowers. Not always. I mean, some were quite reserved, but I remember then we went to a farm there, and there was one girl there. She was 20, perhaps, and she spoke German, and she told us that all her parents were just collected by the Russians because they and shipped away, more or less.
And what was the capture of Riga like?
As artillerymen, you don't see very much of the actual street fighting there. I spent about 4 weeks in Riga later on because I was in hospital there, and some of the very old, wonderful buildings were destroyed. And I knew Riga before the war. We went from East Prussia on a trip over, I think it was in 1938, from Königsberg by boat, and to us it was a wonderful city, quite strange in one respect, because you could see American films, you could see English films. I remember seeing an English film there. We didn't understand a word of it, but it was a wonderful experience, and that must have been in 1938, I believe.
And as you pushed through the Baltic states, were you using these artillery pieces which you had?
Yes.
Against what kind of targets?
We took it. I mean, as a gunner, you don't see where you shoot to. But I take it there were positions, Russian positions somewhere I know that we shot at, I can't remember, Ösel, I don't know the English name for it, but would have been very similar, that we had quite a long bombardment there before the German troops went over by boat there. I think the longest bombardment was later on in front of St. Petersburg, or Leningrad, what it was called then. But that was in winter, then it was quite a few months later.
Did it surprise you about the lack of resistance, or relative lack of resistance from the Russians?
In the beginning, yes, we expected much, much harder fighting there, but I think they withdrew very quickly. They didn't have many troops or many chances here. Much harder fighting started in 1941, winter 1941, beginning of 1942.
So when you got almost to Leningrad, what happened to you then?
I think I had some sort of skin infection. And I spent about 4 weeks in Riga, in hospital there. And I joined the troop, just before Leningrad, yes.
How do you think you got the skin infection?
I remember this farm which I told you we were in, had a little pond. And after weeks and weeks of not going out of your uniform, I thought I'd go into this pond. Now, I put it to this pond that I picked up something there which I couldn't explain. And I don't think the doctors knew really what was in, but that was the only reason. It seems to me that I was the only one picking it up in our battery.
What kind of treatment did you get from the
ointment? I don't think there was anything else available.
As the winter weather came, were you prepared for such a thing?
No, not at all. We are freezing like hell. We had changed our position with our guns, and temperature must have been minus 20 Celsius. And we stopped in the middle of a forest, more or less, and then it was, here we are, this is our position, dig in. So we started digging into frozen ground. We had to cut down some trees to get some roof over our dugout holes, but otherwise there was no preparation at all in equipment, in our uniform. That came, I think, 2-3 months later.
So what were you wearing?
Our normal summer uniform, more or less. We had some extra, whatever we could find we used. My best friend, who I knew from school still, he had frostbites and had to go to hospital. I think I didn't see him anymore then afterwards, not in our unit there. I got through all right. I mean, I still got some frostbite in my ears, but for some